Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. Jesus is precious to me.
He's comfort in sorrow, my hope for tomorrow. Jesus is precious to me. He's all that I pray for. What more could I ask for? Jesus is precious to me.
Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. Savior, my Lord, and my Master, Jesus is precious to me. It's not earthly treasures, it's not worldly pleasures that seem so important to me. Kinship, there's no one as precious as He. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, my Lord, and Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. Jesus is precious to me.
Good hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen's a good Bible word. The world's not going to use it. That's the church's place. Amen. Good word. Well, you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 5. We have began this series of messages out of this great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And thus far, we've talked about what's called the Beatitudes, and that's found in verses 1 through 12. If you'll study closely, you'll find that really what is being taught here is Jesus is saying, you want to live a blessed or a happy, a contented, a satisfying life. Well, here's how you do it. Amen? This is how you do it. And we talked about the three ways. You got to empty yourself of yourself. You got to bankrupt yourself before God. Spiritually, poor in spirit. Got to mourn, right? Got to be pure in heart. Got to have right motives before God and man. And he said that's upward, and that's the first step. And then he talked about inward in the next three, in verses 6, 7, and 8. He said you got to hunger for some things, have some desire. And then in verse number 7, you got to be merciful, right? You've got to learn what it is to be forgiving. Learn what it is to forgive others. Verse number 8, you got to be pure in heart, as I mentioned, the right motives. Then we talked about last week, the peacemakers. This is outwardly. How to be peacemakers, not peace breakers. You know, so many in our churches today are breaking the peace instead of keeping the peace and out to know the peace. And so in order to keep the peace, you've got to have peace in your heart. The first place to have peace is with God. The first place. You'll never have peace with yourself. We'll never have peace with others until we have peace with God. Amen. Peace with God. And so that's what he speaks of here. Then we talked about persecution. in verses 10, 11, and 12. Persecution. And that is something that we're facing. Now, here in our country, we know very little about this. Now, I'm not saying that people are not being persecuted in America. There's persecution. It's alive and well right here in our country. But around the world, brethren, this is a, listen, Christians are being persecuted by the hundreds and the thousands for their faith in Jesus Christ and their faith alone. Not for any other reason than for, if you'll notice verse number 11, what he said, than for righteousness' sake. And then he said in verse number, the last part of verse number 11, for my name's sake. In verse number 10, I'm sorry, he said for righteousness' sake. In verse number 11, for my name's sake. Persecution. Now we move from character. Now what is character? Character is what you are. You say, well, I thought that was reputation. No, that's what people think you are. Need to get those straight. Character is what you are. It's who you are. It's how God knows you. Reputation is how people see you or what they think you are. That's not who you are. You see, someone may say, well, you're a phony. Well, if you're a phony, they're right. But if you're not, that's just their take on you. That doesn't make you that. Just because someone says that. And we need to understand this, especially when it comes to persecution. You need to understand. He said, leading up to this, in verse number 11, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say. Now listen, you can be persecuted not only by what people do, but according to this verse of Scripture, by what people say about you. That's right. People lie about you. They accuse you. They say all manner of evil against you. But now watch what Jesus said in verse number 11. He said, falsely. Now, make sure it's falsely. Live in a way. So that's character, who you are. Now, the Lord Jesus is getting ready to shift on us, and I want you to watch what happens here. He moves smoothly from character into conduct. Now, some people say, well, that's one and the same. No, it's not. Character is who you are. Conduct is how you conduct yourself, how I conduct myself. It's what you do. You see, so it goes from who you are to what you do. Now, people will determine who you are by what you do. That's right. You say, well, I want people to know who I am by what I say. Well, it's not always going to work that way. Because actions do speak louder than words. And so people are going to notice who we are by what we do. And so the Lord Jesus, knowing this, begins to move from character, who you are, when you get that upward relationship right, that inward relationship, and that outward relationship, God, self, man, when we get that right in these Beatitudes, then that says our character and what it is. But now, when our character is right, our conduct will be right. Why? Because who we are will determine what we do. At the end of the day, what I believe is going to determine how I behave. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And so we need to get back to understanding that Bible doctrine matters. Right. It matters. Amen. Now we're living in a day when people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. There's nothing further from the truth. There's nothing further from the truth. It does matter what you believe, because what we believe, it creates a core value, a core system of values in how we're going to behave. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus said, there's two things I want you to understand about how you are to conduct yourselves. And as the master of giving illustration, of using nature, of using things as illustrations, he draws two pictures. Now, what's an illustration? An illustration is like a window that allows light to come in and illuminate a truth. See, sometimes when we hear truth, we're kind of vague in our understanding of it. And Jesus said, I want to open the window and allow light to come in so you can understand these two truths, and it will help you to know how I want you to conduct yourself in this world. Now, Jesus starts out by saying, you have to understand, when you get saved, you're different. When you walk through these Beatitudes, watch it now. When you walk through these Beatitudes, you're going to be blessed. God's going to give you a peace. God's going to give you a sense of satisfaction that this world does not offer. And he said, when you understand this, Then he said, you're going to know what it is to conduct yourself in a certain way. And he said, here's how I want you to conduct yourself. He said, I want you to conduct yourself in a way realizing you're no longer of this world system. Watch what he does in verse number 13 as well as verse number 14. You see that word ye? He's speaking, that's a plural word. He's speaking to the disciples, but he's also speaking to the believers that have gathered themselves around the mount for this sermon. He said, ye, plural, are the salt of the earth. That's them. Now listen to me. When Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, he's not talking about you're the salt of the trees, you're the salt of the rocks, you're the salt of the mountains. He's talking about you're the salt of those that are not a part of you. Or should I say that you are not a part of them? You're different than them. You've been called out from them. You've been called out from those that are of the earth. You understand that? Jesus is showing us two classes of people here. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye is a class of people. Are the salt of the earth. That's the second class of people. Right? Look at verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. So again, there's two pictures here. There's two classes of people. There's two lifestyles. There's two directions that the Lord Jesus is calling attention here. And he said, now you have been removed from them. You're not, listen, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're in this old earth, but you're not of this old earth. You understand that, right? Every believer understands that. He's not, listen, he's talking about separation. Now don't get confused. He's not talking about isolation. As we shall see in this particular this parable of illustrations that he's drawing, the Lord Jesus is not saying, in order for you to be effective, you have to isolate yourself from people. Now, there's a lot of people, and back in the Middle Ages, they tried this. You know, they'd go to these monasteries, and they would shut themselves in for weeks and months and years, thinking that was going to help them to be more holy. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to make you more holy and me more holy is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to shut myself up for a year and that's going to make me more holy. No, it's not. Right. It's what you're going to do when you shut yourself up that's going to make you more holy. That's right. That's right. And so it's already been proven just to shut yourself up alone it's not going to make you more like God. And so the Lord Jesus said, don't confuse separation with isolation. Now, what do I mean? Well, look what he said, first of all, you are. Look at verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. And then in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Now, both of those have to be applied before they can be a difference. In other words, I could take a salt shaker and put it on the table and say, well, I'm separating myself. I'm going to stay on the table. No, you've got to be used. You have to be applied. The salt has to be applied before it can make a difference. Got to mix it up. Got to go where they are. Listen to me now. Got to go where they are. Got to go get them. Right? Going to make a difference. Going to put some taste. Going to make a difference in that food. You're going to make a difference in that recipe. You got to get in there where it's at. You see? Can't just sit on the table. Can't just stay in the cabinet and say, well, you know, I'm going to remove myself and I'm going to make a difference. No, you're not.
Right.
No, you're not.
Right.
So the Lord Jesus said, now you're the salt of the earth. And then he said, you're the light of the world. So I'm a light and I'm going to shine over here all by myself where nobody's at. Who are you going to help? I'm just going to remove myself and I'm going to barricade myself and remove myself from everything and everyone and I'm going to make a difference. Who are you going to help? How's that light going to help anything? So the first thing we need to learn from what Jesus is saying here is while we are the salt and while we are the light, we have to, as salt, to get around that needs flavor, that needs taste. I'm going to be talking to you about taste. This world that we live in, brethren, is tasteless. Tasteless. They have no taste. And this world we live in is full of darkness. Darkness. Need light. This world needs salt. This world needs light. This world needs us. This world needs the church. This world needs Christ. This world needs Christians.
Amen.
needs us.
Right.
If we're going to make a difference, we're going to get out there where it's at.
Right.
You see? So I'm gonna just come to church. There's plenty of light in here. Listen, plenty of light, right? Your illuminated lights, lights through the windows. Light, we got windows all around us, amen? We even got little lights up in these little peepholes here. Lights, lights everywhere. But you know what? Jesus, this is not the light he's talking about. He's talking about you.
Right.
Me.
Right.
We're the light.
Amen. That's right.
We're the light. Now we can come in here and we can shine among one another, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But where Jesus wants you to shine, and where Jesus wants me to shine, and where Jesus wants me to provide a taste, where Jesus wants me to provide a preservative action, is out there among a decaying world, a rottening world. You know, that's what salt does. So let's talk about it. All right, let's talk about what our Lord Jesus wants us to learn from this. He has talked to us about our character. He said, now listen, this is who you are now. In verses 1 through 12, this is who you are. And he said, now I want to talk to you about your conduct. This is what you're to do. Because who you are and who I am is not enough to make the difference. We can go around all day long saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, telling people, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. That's all good and well. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, that's a start. But if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to involve ourselves with others and let them see what we do. You see, Paul put it this way. We're written epistles in people's hearts, and we're known and read of all men. See, I'm going to be the Bible. You are the going to be the Bible, that some, the only one that some people will ever read. You understand that? You understand that? People look at my life and they make a decision on what Christianity is. Should they do that? Well, not really. I don't think that any of us should do that. But yet, we're not going to change that. You understand that. You say, well, preacher, I don't think it's fair that people look at my family and make a decisive decision on who God is. Well, it may not be fair, but it's so. And we're not going to change that. We're not going to change that. And so with things as they are, then we need to understand what Jesus is teaching us here. So let's look at it. Number one, salt. Now, I'm not a chemist. There may be some chemists in the building. I've worked with chemicals in my life as an exterminator and a person who treated some soil and done soil samples and a person who was involved in horticulture. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know some things about some chemical and chemical reaction. All right? But I'm not a chemist. I know this. Salt, now listen to me very carefully, is a miracle. Salt is made up of two poisons, right? Sodium, hydrochloride. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you go drink some hydrochloride. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's some young people in here. Hey, man, there's some young people in here. Do not drink hydrochloride, okay? Because we will be having your funeral before the end of the week. It's a toxic poison. So what does God do? God takes this that is poison. He said, I'm going to make it something. I want to make it something that's pure. I want to make it something that adds flavor. I want to take that poison that people, that kills and that, listen, that destroys. I want to take that and I want to make it something. And so when he said, when Jesus is looking at that group that had come to him to hear what he's saying, those disciples that had come to him and had their sin forgiven and had entered into a relationship with him, when he said, ye are the salt of the earth, he said, you know what you are? You're a miracle. You're a miracle of God. By the way, we'll get to this in just a moment if we get to it, but so is light a miracle. I thought I was going to learn a lot about light from dictionaries. And so I said, I'm going to find out what light is, and I'm going to give the congregation, you know, this revelation of what light is. I'm going to give them a deep definition. So I opened up the dictionaries, and light is that expels darkness. Light is that helps us see our way. That's deep stuff. You know why? Listen, they don't know. It's a mystery. God is light. Now listen to me. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God spoke, and there was light. Think about it, brethren. No man can write down what that is. We've tried and tried.
No man can define God. No man can define light. Salt, light. Why did Jesus pull these two out of nature? Why did Jesus pull these two and say, that's what you are as a Christian? Miracle. Can I tell you, brethren, in this congregation of people this morning are miracles. I look across this congregation and I see what God had done to lives that were destructive to light, that was decaying to lives that were on the wrong way. And God put his amazing grace to that. And now look what God has made us.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, we're not all that. No, but we're not all that we used to be either.
Amen.
Right. Hey, amen. We sure are better than what we were when God found us.
Right.
And it's going to get better.
Right.
It sure is. So salt, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Well, there's a few things, and I'm not going to give you all of them. I'm going to give you just a few, okay, that salt does. Number one, we know that salt irritates. Now, there's an old saying, you know, it's like rubbing salt in the wound. You ever got salt in the wound? Man, it burns. Amen. I mean, it does. Now, I don't know. I don't even think they sell this stuff anymore. How many of you have ever heard of methylate? We used to call it mercuricone, but it's methylate. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, you ever got some? My mother would tell me every time she'd put that nasty stuff on me, now, son, it's not going to burn. And I would think, oh, no, mama's lying again. Amen. She'd put that stuff, and she'd start, when I was just a little kid, I'd say, blow it, amen. Well, that stuff burns. You say, you a sissy. Okay, we're going to find some mercuricone. We're going to find some methylate, and we're going to bring some. We're going to see who's a sissy. Amen. That stuff burns. Salt burns. It irritates. Now, as Christians, we irritate. Now some people do it, and they do it on purpose. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just living. See, Jesus he's piggybacking, if you will, off of the statement he made about righteousness in verse number 10. For my name's sake, he's talking about being persecuted. And he's saying, now listen. You're not only being persecuted for who you are, you're going to be persecuted for how you live, for what you do. You're salt. And salt, it just irritates. You say, I don't mean to irritate people, preacher. Well, you know what? If you do right in this old world that's gone wrong, you're going to irritate some people. Right? Absolutely. Salt irritates. Second thing that salt does, salt seasons. It does. It seasons. As I mentioned earlier, it adds a little taste. Now, I don't add a whole lot of salt to my food, but there's salt in food. And I couldn't imagine eating some food without salt. French fries. I love French fries. What's your favorite meal? French fries. Hey, man. What's your second favorite meal? French fries. Third favorite meal? Baked potato. Anybody that can mess a potato up is not going to heaven. Say amen right there. Somebody call themselves a cook and can't get a potato right, they're mixed up. Man, that's good eating. Say amen with me now. We're going to be letting out soon. I'll let you go get a potato, but listen to me now. Potatoes where it's at. You don't eat potatoes without salt. Now, I realize that we're getting a little close to north here, but you don't eat grits without salt either. You say, I don't eat grits. Now see, call yourself a Christian. And don't eat grits. Grits! You don't eat grits without salt. Salt, why? Salt flavors. Amen, it flavors. Hey, brother, we ought to flavor things. We ought to bring an air of delight when we're around. You say, well, that's a compromiser. No, that's a Christian. Listen to me now. We're to edify. We're to build up. We're to bring some comfort. And here the Bible says, Jesus said, you're the salt of this old earth. People are down. They're discouraged. People are living low. And Jesus said, you ought to add a little irritation just by your very presence. But now, with that irritation ought to come a little flavor. There ought to be, you know what it does? Salt will create a thirst. Where people will get thirsty for what you got, brother. People ought to be thirsty for what we have. That's right. Well, I tell you, down south, those old timers down south, man, get to preaching, they'll say, salt them, brother, salt them. That's right. Salt them. Make them flavorable. Make them thirsty for more. We ought to make a world around us thirsty for what we have, who we have.
Amen.
That's right. But in this context of Scripture, I believe the Lord Jesus, because of what he's saying here, I believe he's not talking about the irritating or the seasoning, so to speak. And I do believe that that's important. As I mentioned to you, we ought to add a little taste. And I got to thinking, just as I was writing down some notes, I got to thinking about how tasteless our world is. You turn on the television, say, I don't own one. Well, I'm not going to argue with you there. But you turn on a television, you turn on a radio, you're out in public, and you're at an eating place, or you're in a grocery store, and everything's just so tasteless these days. The way people dress, just so tasteless. The way people conduct themselves, the language that people use, just so tasteless. It's gutter, it's sewer. And you know it's so. So, hey, you think you're better than other people. No, I'm not. Listen, no, you've misunderstood me. I'm stating the facts this morning. We live in a tasteless world. We live in a world that hates God. We live in a world that's against God, that's against God's word. We live in a world that's tasteless. No manners, no respect for anyone or anything. And we ought to add that. When we get on the scene as Christians, we ought to add a little flavor. We ought to add a little yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and thank you, sir. Have a good day, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Amen. Open the door for a lady. Say good day to a gentleman. Teach your children to stand up when an adult walks in the room. Be careful about even listen, I'm not talking about profanity or vulgarity. Surely to heaven, no one under the sound of my voice that claims to be a Christian, listen to me, would use that. But I would say that even as believers, we need to be careful about slang words in front of ladies and children. We ought to watch what we say and how we say it. The little children are learning from us, brethren. We ought to teach them. We ought to teach them. Say amen with me now. We've gotten away from these things. And our children are learning from television and Hollywood, rap music, and This stuff that's just it's polluting their minds and their hearts and their lives. We ought to add a little salt to it. Add a little flavor. Let them see that this is the good life, brethren. Amen. Say, well, you know, such and such advertises, that's the good life. Hey, Jesus is the good life. Jesus is the good life. No regrets tomorrow when you serve Jesus today. None. Be the salt of the earth. He said, that's your duty. Then he moves from duty, and he begins to talk about permeating. And I believe this is what he's really speaking of when he said salt. Permeating. Taking that salt and mixing it in. See, they didn't ice meat and poultry down back in this day. They salted it to preserve it, to keep it, to slow down the decay and the rottening process, to preserve. And Jesus said, hey, you're preservatives. You're preserving. You ought to permeate yourself. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to move on because my time is fastly getting away. Where does it go when you're having a good time? Amen. Listen to me. Can I encourage you to do something? I want to make this applicable to you. You say, preacher, how can I be the salt of the earth? Just do right, number one. But you know, if we just do right in and among ourselves, we're not going to have a big bearing on out there in the world. Can I encourage you to be salt when you go to a restaurant today? Can I encourage you to be salt, sir, ma'am, to that school, that public school system that your child goes to? Would you be salt there? Would you go to those meetings? Would you hold that leadership and those teachers accountable? Would you let them know I'm here to help you any way I can? I will pray for you. You say, preacher, they don't want me praying for them. When has that ever stopped a Christian? A real Christian. When has that ever... You say, well, they done stop prayer. You can't stop prayer.
Right.
We need to get our terms right. Get involved in the community in the capacity that God would allow you to get involved. It may be your neighbor. It may be your work. Go to work. Don't listen to that stuff. You set the tone. You be the salt. Make a difference where you are. Right? Listen. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're not just salt. Listen, you are salt, but what good is salt if it's not in the earth? He didn't say you're the salt. He said, you're the salt of the earth. See, preacher, I can't be everywhere at one time. I know that. But you take this congregation of people and you begin to salt us and you begin to shake us out through different places in our communities, we can make a difference, brethren. And don't you ever let no liberal preacher or no forked tongue politician, don't you ever let the devil tell you you can't make a difference for Jesus Christ. Amen. You can make a difference. Now you got to get out there where it's at. Got to get in there and mix it up with them. You're not going to do it now. And I'm not going to do it if we don't take from what we get here and take it out there to this, well, to the earth. The earth to us is Madison County. The earth to us is Culpeper County. Green County, Orange County, whatever county you live in, that's the earth to you. You say, well, preacher, we're involved in worldwide evangelism. I know that. We're partnering with them, and that's the earth to them. But we're partnering with them. But now, as far as physically, where I can make a difference in the earth, where I can be that salt, I can flavor that distasteful atmosphere, is right here. And it's for you too. Let's make a difference, brethren. Let's not just be salt. Let's be salt of the earth where God has made us, where God has planted us, where God has put us. So he said, that's your duty. Now, he goes from duty to danger. And I can already tell I'm not going to get to light today, but that's all right. Because I want to finish this thought on salt. It's very important. Notice what Jesus said the danger is here. He said, you are the salt of the earth. That's a positive thing. That's a duty. He said, now this is what you are. This is not what you're going to be. This is not what you should aspire to be. This is what you are. I made you this because I created the miracle. Just like salt is a miracle, Jesus said, I created the miracle that happened in your life, and now this is what you are, and so this is what you should do. Right? This statement follows the Beatitudes. It's fluid. It's an ebb and flow. It just runs together. Now he goes to a danger. Watch this. You're the salt of the earth. That's a duty. Salt has a duty. Salt has a purpose. Every Christian has a purpose. Now, young people, look right up here at the preacher. I love our young people. I do. And I know that there's several young people that are not in our service. They're upstairs in different areas of the building, but there's many young people here. And you may be thinking, well, I can't do it like this one can do it, or I can't be like that one can be. I know that. And God knows that, and I'm glad you realize that. But you can be the best you can be. You see, God has a purpose for your life. He does. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if God wants me to be a preacher. That's all right. Did you know God has many things for you that people can do? You don't have to be a preacher. That's not the only thing God has for people to do. Come on now. Amen. See, God may use you to come up with a cure for some in what is known now as some incurable disease. God may use you. You say, oh, can God do that? Well, God can change the spots of a leper. God can do anything, and he can use you to do it. So please don't ever, ever underestimate what God can do in your life. Never. Never. There's no telling what God has in store. I think about these mothers and these fathers as they stood up here with them little babies. And I, when I look at a baby, I see a bundle of joy. I do. But I also am reminded that's a bundle of eternity. That thing that you held in your hand this morning when you stood up here, Mom, Dad, is an ever-living soul. Ever-living. It'll never cease to be. It's going to be something forever. It's going to be somewhere forever. And you get to have a major impact on what it's going to be and where it's going to be forever. So don't you forget that now. Young people, don't you forget. God has a purpose. Salt, duty. Number two, danger. Look what he said. But if the salt have lost its savor, man, that's that. Listen, that right there is deep. I can't. You know what Jesus is saying here? That there is a potential that salt could be adulterated. It can be mixed. Now I realize today our salt is very refined, but you got to remember back in this day when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking to a group of people who experienced what he's saying. There were people that will mix impurities with salt. And salt loses its effectiveness. Now hear me now. There's a danger that comes with this duty. The danger is that you will no longer be able to fulfill the purpose that was put within you. That I would no longer be able to fulfill the usefulness that God has for me. Salt. salt. Salt has a purpose. And we know what it is. But you have a purpose and I have a purpose. Do you know what it is? Jesus said this, you can lose it. Just like the duty of salt, there's a danger, and the danger of that is it can lose its purpose. It can lose its effectiveness. It can lose, look at what he said there, its savor, to where it's no longer a flavor. It's no longer, it no longer has the ability to permeate and preserve and to extend the life and to slow the process of decay. It, in other words, we call it, in our Christian circles, we call it, that man has lost his testimony. You heard that? That's what Jesus is saying. He said, now be careful. Because while there is a duty, there's a danger to where you could get out of sorts. And though you could be that salt, listen, once you become the salt, you're always the salt. He didn't say the salt would no longer be the salt. He just said it would lose its effectiveness. Well, I tell you, this was one of Paul's greatest, one of his greatest fears. He said, one of my greatest fears is God would put me on a shelf and I would lose my usefulness, my effectiveness for God's kingdom. The devil would have all of us to lose our effectiveness. To lose it. It can happen. It can happen. To where we've lost our savor. Every time that I think of that, my mind immediately goes to poor old Lot. Man, old Lot had it going on, didn't he? Traveled out of the Ur of the Chaldees with Abram, a man that God chose to birth a nation. Traveled in those journeys and seen some things and learned some things, but then he set his eyes on Sodom and he thought, I'm going to change them. But you know what? They changed him. They did. And he vexed, the Bible says, his righteous soul. To where not even his family took him serious. Get up, he said. Get up. Judgment is coming. And they laughed. Mocked him to scorn. Hey, when we tell people what God says, when we tell people about judgment, when we tell people about the deadly and devastating effects of sin, if we've lost our effectiveness, they chuckle and they laugh and they go about their way. When you mix with this old world, they're not going to listen to what you say. See, we're to influence the world, but we're not to mix with it. Old Vance Havner said, he said, it's then gotten to the place to where the world is churchy and the church is worldly, and it's hard to tell the difference. The thing that makes the world thirst after the church is the difference, not the similarities. Hear me now, brethren. And so God help us to be careful that as salt we would not lose our savor, our purpose. Our purpose is to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Our purpose is to show them Christ is a difference maker. That Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And the way we lead our lives and the way we conduct our lives, Jesus has made the difference. So there's a danger of losing that testimony. Now before I move on, I don't want to end on a sad note here. Unlike the salt, the mineral, I'm glad spiritually God can renew that for you. You say, well, preacher, I've lost my effectiveness. Preacher, I've lost it. You know, I believe old Abraham lost it. Remember when he went down into Egypt and he lied about Sarah? And Abimelech said, hey, what are you trying to do here? But you know, a man can gain it back. God can forgive us and God can help us and restore us back to a place of effectiveness and usefulness. There's people sitting across this congregation who came not only to this church, but had come to a place in their life where they were broken and they realized, you know, my effectiveness, my testimony is shot. And they thought, God can no longer use me, but I'm glad that they've seen from the scripture and they've learned from experience that God not only can use you, God will use you. God will restore you. Our God is a God that restores, brethren.
Amen.
The Christian ministry is a ministry of reconciliation and restoration.
Amen.
That's the Christian ministry.
Amen.
And so if you're sitting here today and you say, well, preacher, that's me. I've lost my savior. I've lost my testimony. I've lost my effectiveness. The world laughs and scorns. I've listened to their jokes. I've laughed with them. They've heard some things and saw some things in me that I no longer have that effectiveness. Well, you repent of that today. And you go and you let them know that you've made things right with God and you're going to serve Jesus with your life. And over time, God will rebuild that effectiveness and that testimony in your life.
Amen.
On the authority of this book, God will do that. Now let me close with this thought. I said, first of all, there's the duty of the salt. There's the danger. If the salt, look in verse 13, has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How are you going to be effective? How are you going to make a difference if you've lost your effectiveness? You can't. I find it ironic that Lot's wife, when she turned back, turned into a pillar of salt. I find that ironic. I believe God is, there's several reasons, but one of them, I think God is using it to serve as a reminder to us what her intention and what His plan for her life was, but because she got so entrenched, she lost her savor. Not her savior. I didn't say that. Now, whether she did or not, I don't know if Lot's wife was saved or not. The Bible didn't say Lot and his wife vexed their righteous soul. It said Lot. But she lost her savor. She lost her effectiveness. Don't you lose yours. And if you have, please, come to Christ today. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And he'll begin to use you and help you to be effective again. Now, I close with this final thought. Not only is there duty in the salt, there's danger, but unfortunately, there could be disgrace. Once people realize that you're ineffective, not only will they begin to laugh and mock. Notice what Jesus said here in verse number 13. He said, "It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." You say, preacher, I have lost my effectiveness. I've lost my testimonies, and I no longer care. I'm just going through the motions, and that's going to be my intention for the remainder of my days. That's sad. And I want to try for the next 2 minutes, the last part of this message, to try to help you to please reconsider that. Would you? Would you reconsider that conclusion that you've come to? That you're going to live for you. You're going to do it your way. You're not going to do it God's way. Would you reconsider that? Would you reconsider that God loves you and that God still has a purpose for your life and that God doesn't want your life to be just useless and good for nothing? You say, preacher, would God think that about my life? Well, let's see what God in the person of Jesus said. He said, ye are the salt of the world. And if you lose your effectiveness, you're good for nothing. Now, did Jesus say that? Look at what he said now. That's what he said. You're like a knife that won't cut. What good's a knife that won't cut? You're like a radio that won't play. What good's a radio that won't play? What good is a Christian without a testimony? What good is a Christian without a witness? Well, I'm going to heaven, preacher. Okay. God could save you and take you to heaven the moment he saved you. But he left you here to be used. He left me here to be used. He left us here with a purpose. He left us here to be good for something. But when we insist on going against God's way and we insist on losing our Savior, when we insist on disobedience and insist on just not coming back to God after we failed and not being restored back to that place, then Jesus said, there's nothing else I can do for you. We have a saying, the ball's in your court. Right? And so today I close by saying, the ball's in your court. If you're in this place. Now God sees what each one of us can be. Maybe you haven't realized what you can be and you just think, well, preacher, there's no hope for me. There's no help for me. Again, I want to try to get you to reconsider that. There's plenty of hope and plenty of help for you. Would you come back to God today? Would you say, God, I don't want to be trodden under the foot of men. I don't want to be a spectacle. I don't want to be just someone who is jeered and sneered at and mocked at. I don't want to be like Jonah on a ship and the mariners come and begin to ridicule and say, what are you doing? I thought you were a Christian. I want to have a testimony for Christ. When I walk up, I want people to know there's a Christian. If they're telling filthy jokes, if they're degrading women, if they're cursing God, and I walk up, I want them to have enough of fear, of the fear of my God, to know that should stop. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. The purpose of salt is to preserve. The purpose of salt is to permeate, is to slow and to do away with rottenness and decay. That's our purpose. It's to cause people to be thirsty. It's the flavor, the tasteless. And Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. Say, preacher, that's a tall order. Well, I was told a long time ago, God will ask you to do the hard thing. Let's all stand. Today we have looked in the Scripture and we've seen that God said, you're salt. But you're not just salt. You're salt among people. You're to make a difference. You're not just salt in a cabinet. You're not just salt in a shaker. You're salt to season. You're salt to make a difference. You're salt to be applied so that there could be a difference. You're to influence others. I'm to influence others. And yet we live in a world that is constantly trying to influence us. And it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle. We have to remember, we cannot lose sight of who we are and what God has called us to do. We're to be salt. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. I'm going to ask